teach me to know your ways. Teach me to know your healing grace.
Teach me to
know the mighty one. Teach me to know.
Welcome to The Way That Leads to Life, a weekly presentation of the Eastside Church of Christ, sharing teaching from God's own word to guide our steps in the way that leads to life.
Good morning and welcome to The Way That Leads to Life this morning. I'm Steve Klein. It's good to have you listening along to the program. God's given us another great day to serve Him. We're thankful for that. We're looking forward at Eastside being together this morning at 10 o'clock for a worship assembly. Of course, we're not meeting as many times as we normally do due to the pandemic, but we will be meeting at 10 this morning, 108 French Way in Athens, Alabama. We'd invite you to be with us. We'll be practicing social distancing and wearing masks and all that kind of thing. I think it's a pretty safe environment. And we'll be worshiping God and honoring Him and glorifying Him. Talking about this morning how important it is to study our Bibles on our own and teach our children at home what it is that the Bible says. So we'd love for you to be with us in that worship assembly. If you can't be, that'll be live streamed online from our Facebook site. You can go to Eastside Church of Christ on Facebook and see that. Also, it will be streamed from our website, eastside-church.org, and you'll be able to click on the media tab and go to our live streaming if you'd like to watch the service this morning. There's a lot of material actually on our website. I encourage you to check that out, eastside-church.org. A lot of sermons and Bible class material. There's an opportunity there to sign up for a Bible correspondence course that you can study the Bible at home at your leisure, either through the mail or online. So a lot of things there. If you're interested in Bible study, we'd encourage you to check out our website, eastside-church.org. We're going to be talking about this morning, I think, something that is an important concept when we think about the value of our lives and what we're giving our lives up to accomplish or to have. There's an interesting story in 1 Kings chapter 21 that we'll be starting with in just a minute. It's about Ahab and Jezebel. But before we get there, I want to just kind of ask you a question. Have you ever made a deal, maybe bought something, paid a good bit of money for something, and realized maybe just a little bit later that, wow, that was really a bad deal. I should not have done that. I did not want to give up that money or whatever it was for this thing that I got. I imagine most of us have done that, maybe a lot of times. I can remember when I was just a little boy, I tell this story often. My grandfather had given me a 50-cent piece, a Kennedy half dollar. And the ice cream truck was going down the street, you know, and so I grabbed my Kennedy half dollar and ran after the ice cream truck and got a popsicle or something and gave that 50-cent piece away. I regretted that right after I ate that ice cream. You know, that was just a bad deal. My son, when he was a teenager, saved money, worked hard, saved some money to buy a truck. He bought a used truck, thought he made a good deal on it. The next day, the engine blew on that truck. You know, he was just sick about all that money that he had saved, and yet it was just for nothing. So probably all of us have had those kinds of experiences where we've given up something quite valuable to obtain something that really wasn't worth what we gave up. And that's the story of a man we know in the Bible as Ahab. Ahab was king of Israel during the period of the divided kingdom. There was a lot of upheaval and political intrigue during this period of time in the history of Israel. But Ahab was king of the north. He had a wife named Jezebel who was not an Israelite. She was a Sidonian. She was a pagan, an idolater, and she no doubt influenced him to do a lot of bad things. The prophet in Ahab's day was a man by the name of Elijah. Elijah was a powerful prophet for God and withstood the idolatry of the day, stood up against the king and the queen, made things a whole lot better than they would have been otherwise by his courage and his faith. But we come to 1 Kings chapter 21, and Elijah has come to confront Ahab about a sin that he's committed. Ahab coveted a man's field, a man by the name of Naboth. He saw his vineyard was really nice, and he offered Naboth something for the vineyard, but Naboth didn't want to sell it. So Jezebel schemed to have Naboth murdered, basically, so that Ahab could have this vineyard. So it was, again, quite a bit of political intrigue and conniving occurring under the reign of Ahab. But right after that, then, the prophet Elijah comes to confront Ahab, and he tells him basically that because of what you've done, you're going to die, and it's going to be an unpleasant death. And Ahab responds, and he says to him in verse 20, "Have you found me, O my enemy?" And he answered, "I have found you because you have sold yourself to do evil in the sight of the Lord." That's quite a statement. Ahab had sold himself to do evil. I think there are a lot of people in this world have sold themselves from one thing or another, and they may not perceive it as doing evil, but people sell themselves for a career. They sell themselves for material things. They sell themselves for pleasure. They sell themselves for addictions like alcohol or drugs or cigarettes or whatever it might be, where you've just given your life over to something. Ahab had sold himself to do evil. The prophet Elijah repeats that charge in verse 25. In the text, it says, "There was no one like Ahab who sold himself to do wickedness in the sight of the Lord, because Jezebel, his wife, stirred him up. And he behaved very abominably in following idols, according to all that the Amorites had done, whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel." So Ahab was just about as bad as you could be. He's not serving the Lord. He's following idolatry. He's taking the lead from his wife, who, as I said, was a pagan and an idolater. And he's just giving himself entirely over to do that which was wickedness in the sight of God. Elijah tells him that things are not going to go well with him as a result of what he's done. The consequences are going to be very, very severe. And you go on and you read in verse 27 that when Ahab heard those words, he tore his clothes and put sackcloth on his body and fasted and lay in sackcloth and went about mourning. He was just sick when he came to a realization that he was going to have to pay consequences for these evil things that he'd done and for the fact that he'd given himself over, he'd sold himself to do these evil things. There are a couple of other counts I'd like to share with you from the Old Testament period of people who did similar things. We're going to go back to Genesis chapter 25 and think about Jacob and Esau. Jacob and Esau were two sons of Isaac, and they figure prominently, obviously, in the story of the Old Testament. Jacob will later have 12 sons who become the 12 tribes of Israel. But the text will tell us in Genesis chapter 25 and verse 27 that the boys grew after they were born. The boys grew, and Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field. Jacob was a mild man, dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he ate of his game. Rebekah loved Jacob. When Jacob cooked a stew, Esau came in from the field. He was weary. Esau said to Jacob, "Please feed me with that red stew, for I am weary." Therefore, his name is called Edom. Edom means red. In any case, Jacob said, "Sell me your birthright as of this day." And Esau said, "Look, I'm about to die, so what is this birthright to me?" Jacob said, "Swear to me as of this day." So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. Jacob gave Esau bread and stew and lentils, and he ate and drank, arose, and went his way. And so Esau despised his birthright. Birthright was a valuable thing. Esau was the older son. He was going to receive, according to the order of birth, a double blessing, a double inheritance, basically, if you think about it that way. And yet he sells it to his younger brother for a pot of stew. What a terrible choice, right? What a really bad deal that Esau made on that occasion. The New Testament refers to this event and warns us about not being like Esau in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 16. "Beware lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright." Later on, of course, he regretted that. He regretted it deeply. He became angry with his brother. He, in fact, sought to kill him on one occasion. Esau was really, really troubled by this horrible thing that he'd done, and selling something so valuable, so important to his life, he gave it away for essentially a pot of stew. Other examples of this kind of behavior occur throughout the Bible. The children of Israel in general sold themselves to do that which was evil in the sight of God. They did so much evil in God's sight that they wound up being sent off into Babylonian captivity. Their nations were destroyed, both Judah and Israel. Their nations were destroyed, and God caused them to be captured by foreign nations. Assyria captured Israel, and the Babylonians captured Judah. And you can read about those events, of course, back in the Old Testament. Great examples of this very principle that we're talking about this morning, giving away what's so valuable for something that is worthless and will only lead to misery. In 2 Kings chapter 17, you have the story in verse 15. The text says about Israel that they rejected God's statutes and his covenant that he made with them and their fathers, and his testimony which he testified against them. They followed idols. They became idolaters. They went after the nations who were all around them, concerning whom the Lord had charged them that they should not do like them. So they left all the commandments of the Lord God, made for themselves a molded image, two calves, made a wooden image, and worshiped all the hosts of heaven and served the Baal. And they caused their sons and daughters to pass through the fire, practicing witchcraft and soothsaying, and sold themselves, it says, sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. So here the Israelites are described as a people who just wholesale went into idolatry and paganism and wickedness of all sorts. They even sacrificed their children to these idol gods. And just became completely immoral in about every way you can imagine, because they wanted to be like the people around them who were also completely immoral. I think there's a cautionary lesson in this for us today, even in America. We're going down a path right now where we're rejecting the law of God, what's sometimes called, you know, Judeo-Christian ethics, which had a big part in the founding of this country. We're just sort of laying that aside so that everybody can do their own thing, pursue whatever kind of really paganism that they want to pursue. We're killing hundreds of thousands of unborn babies a year in this country, shedding innocent blood, and just going on as if nothing is happening. And there's a lot of other injustice for sure in this world as well, as has been pointed out by the news media lately. But the point is that we are rejecting God's ways, and we're turning away to do things that are not good. They're not profitable, and they're going to lead us ultimately to a really bad place of consequences. And Israel didn't see that initially, but when they did see it, were they really ever sorry that they had made the choices that they had, that they had sold themselves in the way that they had? In the book of Jeremiah, in the Old Testament, I just read what was said about the children of Israel, the northern kingdom. I'm going to go look at the book of Jeremiah in chapter 2. And down in verse 11, Jeremiah's prophesying. This is after the northern kingdom's already been taken into captivity. And now Jeremiah's prophesying to Judah, the southern kingdom. And he says, Has a nation changed its gods, which are not gods? But my people have changed their glory for what does not profit. Be astonished, O heavens, at this. Be horribly afraid. Be very desolate, says the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. Of course, a cistern is an ancient, usually indentation sort of carved out of stone that was made to hold rainwater or keep water for use in a given place. If a cistern's broken or it has a crack, it's no good. Here God had provided Israel metaphorically with fountains of living water, and they had rejected him and sold that basically for cisterns containers that were supposed to hold water, and they were cracked and they wouldn't hold any water. So metaphorically, they'd given up something of great value and worth, continual refreshment for that which was not going to supply what they needed at all. How many times in this world do we do things like that? Again, I started with a couple of illustrations this morning about buying things that wind up being worthless or not suiting your needs, not what you expected. You know, have you ever been taken in by some internet scam or something like that where you went and bought something and it wound up being nothing like what you thought it was going to be when it came? Those kinds of deals, it's one thing when we spend a little bit of money and it's not what we expected. But when we sell ourselves, our part of ourselves, to do something with our lives that winds up being completely fruitless, completely empty, what a sad choice that is. The Israelites, the people of Judah as well, realized ultimately what bad decisions that they'd made, that they hadn't been careful with the precious things that God had given them. In Babylonian captivity, Psalm 137 and verse 1 says that by the rivers of Babylon, there we all sat down and we wept when we remembered Zion. You can imagine this people taken into captivity for all of the evil that they've done, for giving themselves over to do wickedness, and now they're punished for it, they're suffering the consequences, and they just feel miserable about it. So today, if we will think about these lessons from the Old Testament, you know, we don't live under the Old Testament anymore, but the Old Testament was written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. That's what the New Testament says about it. So we can learn a lot of lessons from the Old Testament. For New Testament Christians, we need to learn lessons from the kinds of things we've just talked about, from these examples that we've seen in the Old Testament. It's a really bad deal when we exchange the valuable for the worthless, the important for the petty. And there's no more significant way that people do this than by giving up their souls for worldly, material things, for pleasures, for addictions, as I mentioned earlier, whatever it might be. I'm turning in my Bible to Matthew chapter 16, and in verse 24, Jesus is talking. He says to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. What profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" Whatever it is in this world that you're giving your life for or to, if it's not for the benefit of your eternal soul, you're getting a bad deal. And you're going to regret that, if not in this life, certainly in eternity. We're going to have to give up our lives for something. We all do. Every minute of every day, we are giving our lives for things. We're spending our lives in pursuit of this or that. And if your life is spent in, you know, the pursuit of your own happiness, in pursuit of your own pleasure, in gaining material wealth, in, doing things that are contrary to the will of God, that might seem like a good bargain at first, to give your life up for those things. But in the long run, and certainly in eternity, it will be something that you regret forever. Jesus wanted you to know that there's nothing in this world that's worth giving your soul up for. Don't sell yourself for things that are essentially worthless. There's nothing as valuable as your soul. There's nothing as valuable as your soul. So whatever it is that you're doing in this life, if you're not taking care of your soul, if you're not thinking about the future of your soul, you're cheating yourself. You're going to wind up really, really sad about that choice eventually. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8, the Apostle Paul there is writing to Colossian Christians, and he's warning them about being cheated out of their salvation. And he says, Colossians 2 and verse 8, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. The warning of Paul there is so relevant to our society today. He says, watch out, beware lest anyone cheat you. Another translation says, make merchandise of you. Don't let anybody sell you, or don't sell yourself for the philosophies of this world. You know, this world's been turning a long time, and generation after generation of mankind have had all sorts of different ideas about what's important. You know, there's been a lot of cultural change in not only our nation, but all nations over time. And not all of that, in fact, most of it, is not particularly valuable or helpful. You talk about, you know, has mankind really progressed from ancient times when it comes to understanding what's important, what life's all about, living in accord with things that'll make God happy and us happy, preparing ourselves for eternity. There have been a lot of changes, but there's not been a lot of progress. And the thing is, men will always have these ideas maybe that are presented to our children in academia, ideas that are brought up by social elitists and others in our culture. That's not new to our time. That's been going on for a long time. And so many people just buy into that, you know, buy into whatever they're being told. And a lot of times it's a philosophy or a manner of life that's entirely empty. And people give themselves over into thinking, you know, like the world thinks and doing things like the world does. What the Bible says is, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world. When we allow our thinking and our behavior to conform itself to whatever the world's doing around us, whatever that may be, when we become conformed to this world, we're making a deal with the devil, basically. We're giving our minds, our hearts over to something that is not going to last, and it's not going to help us eternally. What Paul is saying, you watch out, you beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy, the wisdom of this world. That's what that's talking about. Don't let anybody cheat you through philosophy or empty deceit. According to the tradition of men, what people in the world are talking about, the basic principles of the world, things that the world thinks are, you know, just basic and elementary, those aren't necessarily basic and elementary things to Christians. Christians get their idea about what justice is and mercy and goodness, not from the world, but from God. From Jesus Christ. The things that the world has to say and has to offer about those things are not from God. Christians follow that which comes from Christ. We're walking the way that leads to life, and Christ is our leader. You know, there's a missed opportunity in refusing to give up what is ruining us for that which would save us. It's like a man who has lung cancer who won't give up smoking, you know. Well, the world and its way of doing is ruining us spiritually. Can't we see that? Keeping riches or wasting them for our own pleasure and recreation, the materialism of this world, that's ruining us. So many social and political ideologies that run contrary to the will of God, those things are ruining us. In Matthew chapter 19, Jesus, starting in verse 16, has an account with one that we call the rich young ruler. And it says in Matthew 19 and verse 16, one came to him saying, good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. He said to him, which ones? Jesus said, you shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother. Love your neighbor as yourself. The young man said to him, all these things I've kept from my youth. What do I still lack? Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. But the young man heard that saying. When the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Here's a young man who was possessed by his possessions, right? He couldn't give those things up to follow Jesus. He'd given himself to his possessions. He was possessed by them. He'd sold himself to materialism. I think there are a lot of people in the world like that today. They have given themselves over, whether it's to materialism, as we've said earlier, earthly pleasures, some addiction, something they think they can't give up in the world, and that thing just owns them. They've sold themselves to that thing. And it's really a sad condition when you can't let go of what's ruining your life and is not going to help you in eternity, when you can't let go of that to possess what is really valuable, and that is a relationship with Jesus Christ who keep your soul. So what the Bible shows us repeatedly is that the course of wisdom, if we're walking the way that leads to life, the course of wisdom is to willingly just be willing to forfeit anything in this life in order to follow Jesus. The Apostle Paul was a great example of that. Before he became a Christian, he was a pretty famous person among the Jews. He had a great education. He was regarded as a leader, an up-and-coming young Pharisee in his day. He gave all of that up. He turned his back on it in order to serve Christ. And he says about that, choice, that he never really regretted it. In Philippians, rather, chapter 3 and verse 7, he says, "What things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection." You see what Paul's saying? He says, I had it all and I gave it all up. I count that as rubbish. As a bunch of garbage, I just threw it all away so that I could have a relationship with Christ. I know that there are people listening to this broadcast this morning who need to let go of the things of this world so that you can have a relationship with Christ. Whatever it is that's running your life, that you've sold your life to have or to do, if it isn't Jesus, it's not worth it. Jesus Christ needs to be the one that you're living for. He needs to be the one that you give your life to. If you make that choice, if you're willing to do that, you will never, ever regret it. We've got to understand that. And I hope that there are some even listening this morning who do understand that. You see, the truth of Jesus, the truth of God's word is so awesomely, wonderfully valuable. In Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 23, we're told to buy the truth and sell it not. Nothing more valuable than God's truth. And again, whatever we've sold it for, whatever, don't sell the truth. It's so valuable. God's word is truth. There might be somebody listening this morning who is sold under sin, which was a condition that Saul of Tarsus found himself in. He talks about that, Paul does, in writing in Romans 7 and verse 14. So you've made a bad deal. You can't get out of it on your own. But I want you to know that Jesus paid the price to buy you back. If you've sold yourself to the world, if you've sold yourself to Satan in a way, Jesus, through his blood, paid the price to buy you back. Ephesians 1 and verse 7 says, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins according to the riches of his grace." Redemption is this idea, you've been bought back. You may have sold yourself to do something wrong, to give yourself over to something that's not good. Jesus will buy you back. What a great thought. Thank you for listening to the program this morning. Hope you have a great day serving the Lord. And as you live through this week, strive your best to walk the way that leads to life.
You've been listening to The Way That Leads to Life, presented by the Eastside Church of Christ, meeting at 110 French Way in Athens, Alabama. Come visit us this morning at 9 o'clock or this evening at 5 o'clock as we assemble for worship. Also, join us for Wednesday Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m. For free audio or video of the Bible lessons taught at Eastside, or to learn more about us, log on to eastside-church.org. That's eastside-church.org. And tune in again next week to The Way That Leads to Life.